Our lesson today is taken from Romans chapter 12. We'll be going back and forth from scripture to scripture, but relating back to verses in Romans chapter 12, which deals in the outset of chapter 12, deals with that of sacrifice. In a land that we live in a country that we live in, we find that there are many things that are happening in our country. As far as the world, we see many changes that are taking place in our government, on our TVs. We see even in commercials, things that are being promoted that are against God's will. Here just recently, and about a month ago, I heard where the president promoted transgender lifestyles and told them to go out and to be whatever they wanted to be and to be happy and to prosper in that particular avenue of which they take. But yet we find in God's Word that it speaks against it. It speaks against the things that we see in our society that is going on with the morality and everything. And that kind of brings me to the lesson today. Whenever we look at Romans chapter 12, and in particular looking at verse 2, we see there it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." And he says there, "that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Sadly to say, too many of the of God's people are conforming to the world. And what we see is a repeat of what we saw and learned from in the Old Testament of the children of Israel. We find that the children of Israel, God warned them time and time again not to intermingle, not to get involved in other nations and their doctrines and their beliefs and their theories, because it would draw them away from God and they would conform to those doctrines of men. And we see the very same thing going on today. Many churches are lessened in membership because too many of their members are conforming to the world. And even more sadly, as we see churches that are remaining together, but they are conforming to some of the doctrines of the world and bringing in those doctrines into their beliefs. So I want us to look today and to look at some ways of which we find in Romans chapter 12 that the writer here, Paul, is trying to address this issue of the confirmation or being conformed to the world and how to keep that from happening to us as individuals and to us as churches of God's people. I want us to first look at looking into Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. And notice there he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." But in particular, the latter part of that, it says there, "Abhor that which is evil." So many times we've tried to justify the things that are wrong. We try to make right what is wrong. But there is no grounds for that. There's no in-between. It's either right or it's wrong. You can't justify something that is wrong and make it right. And here he says, "Abhor that which is evil." That thought there of just not even having anything to do with it. And then he ends that verse there with saying, "Cling to what is good." Sometimes we want to straddle the fence. We want to get as close to evil as we can, but yet we feel in our hearts that I'm still righteous. But in our minds, we're kind of interested in wanting to see just what this evil is. Here the Lord says, abhor it. Stay from it. Turn your Bibles, if you will, back over to Psalms chapter 34. We find the psalmist here as he says this about evil. And notice there in verse 34, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16, he says, "Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil, he says, and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord, and here's the important thing, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and the righteous only. And his ears are open to their cries. Who are the righteous? Those who are abiding in all the commandments of God. If we try to meddle and to mingle with evil, then it very simply says here that God is not, his eyes are not upon us. His ears are not open unto us. And then notice there in verse 16, he says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Here the psalmist David is warning us about getting involved in those things which are evil, or even that appears to be evil. The whole concept of Christianity is to keeping ourselves pure and untarnished from the evils of this world. And if we don't want to be conformed to the world, then we've got to keep ourselves pure in the eyes of God. We find also that another point that I want us to think about is found in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Again, we find here that if I do not want to be conformed to this world, what's going to help me to transform myself from this world is that of giving preference to one another. Those of like precious faith, those of the same religious belief and following after the same religious concepts that are acceptable by God. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, we note there that it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, preferring, wanting, and to associate with one another versus that of the world. So many times we find ourselves that the only time we ever meet with one another or talk or associate with one another is when we come together on Sunday or maybe on Wednesday. But the rest of the time we're mingling and associating ourselves with the world. Here the Lord wants us to prefer one another, making preference, looking out for one another, and looking over the well-being of one another. As he says there, with brotherly love, we need to consider ourselves as a spiritual family. You know, the old saying is, the family that prays together stays together. It's a family that is closely associated with one another. You know, there are a lot of physical families that we see where the children, when they grow up, they leave the home and that's the last they ever see of their parents. See, God's family should not be that way. Neither should physical families. The closer a family is, the closer knit they are, the better communication, the better relationship they have. And that's exactly what God's family should be. Closely associated with one another. We know of the well-being of one another. We know where one is hurting and where one is happy and where one is joyful. But so many times we aren't even aware of any problems that our brothers and sisters might have. We're not aware of any illnesses they may have or any conflicts that are going on in their lives because we've made ourselves to where we're not associated with them as much as we are with the world. So again, if I want to be transformed, I've got to associate myself more and with my brothers and sisters in Christ, looking out for their well-being and their care. We find in Philippians chapter 2, and notice verses 3 and 4 of this passage here, he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, looking out for self. You know, the world as we look at it, the world is all a me world. The world is looking out for themselves. They're not concerned or caring one bit about anyone else in their lives. They're only caring for themselves. Number one. But here we find, here it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Here, see, we see here the humbleness that comes by being a child of God. He says, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Now that means I'm more concerned about your well-being, much greater than my own well-being. That I'm going to put your well-being before my well-being. That I'm more concerned about you and care for you. It says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. This kind of gets into the idea of offenses also. Not offending others. Not doing things that will harm or hurt others. But looking out for the things that are for good for others. And again, especially to those of the household of faith, not in particular to those of the world. Yet we find that we are to be good and care about those that are in the world, but not to put the association as a priority. Our priority is to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. If we're going to transform our minds, it is going to take us looking and being with and associating ourselves with those of like precious faith. The next point that we find is found in Romans chapter 12. Again, going back over to Romans chapter 12. And notice in verse 11. We see here that if I'm going to make sure that I'm not conforming myself to the world, then I've got to also look at what he says there in verse 11. He says there that we should not be lagging in diligence. You might use the word procrastinate in this particular point. There's a lot of people that say, well, you know, I know I need to be doing this or that for the Lord, and I know that there's things that need to be involved and need to be done for the Lord, but right now, today, I've got many other priorities in my life, and I've just got to deal with those first, and then I'll put those things for the Lord. I'll put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be here and I'll be able to take care of those things. But we even find the Lord Jesus Christ Himself saying, do not put off till tomorrow what can be done today. Why does He say that? Because He says tomorrow may never come. And we put off things. And you know, my wife will tell you, there's projects at home. I've got these six panel doors, I got about eight of them stacked against a wall in our storage area that I bought to put in our house. And that was almost a year ago. And I haven't done it yet. And she's like, you know, I could really use that space for something else besides a door storage. And there's different projects. I'm sure all of us can think of things that we procrastinate on that we put aside. Don't let it be the work of the Lord. This should be our priority. This is the first and foremost in all of our lives, at least it should be, that I am not putting off, that I'm not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, he says, serving the Lord. When I hear about, Kyle mentioned there that you have a song practice. That is a wonderful thing, to learn new songs. Any time that we have an opportunity to get together to do different things that will help us and to improve on things and to help our service to God, we need to be looking forward to those days and not just looking forward to them, but being a participant in them. And that is an important thing. You know, a lot of people, they say, well, you know, it's required on Sunday to be at worship, but Wednesday night Bible study, that's not required. And a lot of times, and I just realized that wasn't near me, but and we notice that a lot of times they don't come on Wednesday night because they don't see it as a priority. But it is an open opportunity to learn more about God. And again, being diligent, and that's just some examples of how that we can be more diligent for the Lord and in service to Him. We have neighbors, I've mentioned this in many lessons, and I'm sure I've mentioned it in lessons with you, where we have neighbors that live right next door to us. Open opportunities to teach about Christ and His Word and His will. How many times have we procrastinated and going to our neighbor and inviting them to church, or co-workers inviting them to church, or for you younger, going to your classmates and inviting them to services. These are opportunities that are right there before us. Let us not procrastinate. Let us not be lagging in our diligence and service to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 6, we find there, in Hebrews 6, verses 12 through 15, we find there it says, "Do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." He gives us an example here of Abraham. And notice, and whenever you think back about Abraham, it says here, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other greater, he swore by himself, saying, and here's a promise he made, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you." So, after he had patiently endured, Abraham patiently endured all the obstacles in his life, he wasn't sluggish, he wasn't lagging in his diligence, he did everything that God had commanded him, when God commanded him, and even so did more so than what God commanded him. We find there that it says, he obtained the promise. We have that same promise. Not the same as what he said here to Abraham, but we have a promise from God. A promise of eternal life in heaven. But it is only going to come to those who are diligent in service to him. Who are willing to endure to the end. Willing to take all the obstacles and overcome them in order that they might obtain that promise. It's going to require a lot of effort. It's going to require a lot of time. But we can obviously inherit our promise. The greatest promise that anyone could ever obtain, a home with God in heaven. Notice there, if you will, another point that we find going back over to Romans chapter 12 again, and this idea of not conforming to the world but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And here it kind of goes along with Glenn's songs, continuing in prayer. One of the biggest downfalls in society is a lack of communication. We find it in the home. We find that communication between husband and wife, between parents and children, when there's a breakdown in communication, there is a breakdown in progressing. There's a breakdown in the whole relationship. In the workplace, my boss, a lot of times, whenever something fails to work or happen the way it should happen, his answer is, there's a failure of communication here somewhere. And he's exactly right. Somewhere down the line, somebody didn't communicate properly what should have been done. And then things don't get, it doesn't happen as it should. Well, that relationship with God, when we fail to converse and when we fail to communicate with God, that relationship that we have with God breaks down. You know, whenever we think about that, whenever, you know, God, He communicates with us through His Word. And we'll get to that here in a moment, but How often do we study? How often do we let God talk to us and communicate with us? How many times a week or how many times a day do you pick up God's Word and just let God talk to you? And in turn, how often in a day do you return and communicate with God? God looks forward to those communications. And what better being than to be speaking unto our Heavenly Father? What greater opportunity can we have? We find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 there he says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Now we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we find there that he says there, pray, And hold on a second. It's a very simple verse, but I knew I would forget it. And my mind is not like it. It's not a steel trap like it used to be. Pray without ceasing. So many times we cease to pray to God. The things that are going on in our lives and all the different distractions in our lives, and it seems like we forget to take time to pray to God. That's a sad situation when we get to that point in Colossians 4:2. Again, it just reinforces the thought there of steadfastly praying unto God. Keeping that communication with God open and letting God speak unto us, as Glendon said there in his comments. You know, so many times we pray to God, and sometimes the reason why we stop praying to God is because it doesn't answer our prayers the way we expect them to be answered. There are certain desires that we have from God, and we pray to God for that to happen. And we expect it to happen in a certain way, and then when it doesn't happen that way, we think, then what was the use of talking to God about it? It didn't happen. But just like Glendon said, God answers our prayers in a way that we need them answered, not by the way we want them answered. God knows our needs far greater than we do. And we're just like our young children. You know, I've always told my children, you know, what you need is not exactly, or what you want is not exactly what you need. And so as a parent, we have to look into our children's desires and think about, is this something that is really needful for my child before I make that answer of yes or no? And that's the way God looks at it. God hears our desires. He hears our supplications. God hears all of our prayers. But when God answers that prayer, it'll be according to what He feels we need. And so we should never give up on that and keep that in mind every time we pray to God. That God is going to look out for my well-being. God will take care of me. He will answer my prayers according to my needs. So many times we stop praying to God because of that very thing. We think that God is not listening anymore. But God is. And that can help us to be transformed and not conformed to this world. Another point I want us to look at, again, going back over to Romans chapter 12, and notice there in verse 16, we find there, he says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions." Well, how can we be of the same mind here, Paul? What is it that's going to bring us all together in the same thoughts and the same thinking? Well, that comes back to God communicating with us, God's Word. Looking into God's Word, if we all look into God's Word, we can understand God's Word alike, and we can be alike, like-minded, seeking after the same goals, looking at the same instructions of God in the same way. But what happens so many times is, as we start looking into different concepts and we start looking into different opinions and theories, and then we get our minds all boggled up and we're not thinking the same way. And we start assuming different things. Well, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2 there, notice there, Paul makes this statement. He says, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded." And not only is it joyful unto Paul, but it is joyful unto the Lord when we all think the same way. Having the same love and being of one accord and of one mind. How things seem to get done so much easier when everybody's thinking the same way. Goals will be set so much better whenever everyone is thinking the same way. There's no conflict of interest. There's no confusion anywhere. Why? Because we're all thinking the same way. But again, that comes by looking God's Word and His Word only, and letting only God lead us in our lives. Then also, I want us to think of this. Whenever we find in Romans chapter 12, going back over to that particular chapter there, and notice in verse 21, we find there that it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You know, there was a time once when you could turn your TV on to some program on TV, and most of those programs would be this very concept: overcoming evil with good. But not so anymore. In our government, in our TV programs, again, I go back to the very beginning of our lesson. The world has just destroyed all of that. Their concept is just do whatever pleases you, do whatever you like, and it's all right. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How can I do that? Well, that goes all the way back to verses 1 and 2. Whenever we read there and we find there, he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Sacrificial unto who? Unto God. That we are to present our bodies not only as a living sacrifice, but presenting ourselves wholly, being acceptable by God. How can I know that I'm acceptable by God? Well, that looks into God's mirror, His Word. We find in James chapter 2, it talks about God's Word being a mirror. It is a reflection of me when I look into it. I see myself for who I truly am. And then if there's changes that need to be made so that I can transform myself from the evil to good, it's only going to be found in God's Word. And we find there that he says there, "which is your reasonable service." I've said many times that God is not asking us to do something that is beyond our capabilities. All the instructions of God, every commandment that God has given, it is reasonable. It is able to be accomplished through each and every one of us. But what keeps it from happening is our own selfish will standing in the way. If I want to be acceptable to God, I've got to be that living sacrifice. I've got to live my life wholly unto Him, and I've got to do it according to His will. And then in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind," in God's Word. We can look at this and we can think, you know, a lot of the world, I've just had new neighbors move into my next door to me. It was a little bit of a shock. My wife met the one lady that was there and introduced her to, you know, my wife introduced herself to her and said, "My husband, Marvin, he's at work right now, but you've probably seen him coming in and out." And she said, "Yes, I have noticed him, and you may have noticed my wife." And my wife had to stand there for a few moments. She didn't know how to answer that. See, the world is accepting all of that. We went garage sailing, my wife and I did one Thursday here recently, and realized that there's a lot of these flags that are out, which accepts all different types of however you want to put it. the gay, the lesbian, whatever. Yet we find that God's word speaks against it. There are many laws in our land that have been accepted by man, that have been made by man, that are contrary to God's law. Now, we can conform to it. We can just accept it. Or we can dig deeper into God's Word and make God's Word my priority. And no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does, my life's not going to be directed by the world. It's going to be directed by God and His Word. And if you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel, let God guide you. Let God be your priority in life. Accept His will, believe with all your heart, and obey the gospel, becoming a child of God and inheriting the promises that come by being one of His children. The greatest inheritance of all is a home in heaven. It awaits each and every one of us. But it requires transformation. If we are children of God here today, that those of you who have obeyed the gospel, and maybe you've been so-called straddling the fence, so to speak, maybe you've been kind of considering the evils of this world and trying to justify in your life why you're doing things that are contrary to God's will, make it right before it's ever too late.